Today's daf is daf Tzadik Tet, and we're holding right at the bottom of Tzadik Tet Amud Beit. But let me remind you what our issue is. We had yesterday the sugya in the Mishnah of what happens if someone who is a kavlan to take care of something for you, he's an expert, and he ruins it. So we had two cases in the Mishnah that sound exactly the same. One case said a general rule. You give it to a manim latakein, they have to pay you. The second case seemed to simply repeat the rule with a specific example. So it gave a case of a carpenter who was given a closet to fix, and instead he ruins it, that he has to pay for the closet. Now, the question is, does that imply that the first case is limited to this case, so that if you had given him wood to make a closet, he made the closet and then he ruins it, he would only have to give you back the price of the wood, and that would imply that he is the owner of the closet until the closet is paid for? Or is this actually a case to explain that the first case is meant to be the other one, that even if you were giving him, you gave him the wood, he would have to pay you now for the entire thing, because it's your closet, not his closet, and Uman So Rav Asi says the case would be over here limited to that second case, because if you had given him wood then, and he made it, he would not be responsible to pay you for anything but the wood. Why is that? Because Uman Kona B'Shevach Keli. And we were in the middle of a discussion about those two ways of learning the Mishnah. We ended up with Rav Asi's insistence that the only time that Uman would have to pay you for the closet is where he wasn't the one who made the closet out of your materials, where you gave him a closet. If you just gave him material, it doesn't matter what stage he ruins the material, only pays you for the material. It isn't yours until such time as you actually got it back and paid for it. So we're at the bottom now, and we're trying to bring a riot. Lema misayale, last words on the page. Lema misayale, let's see if we can prove Rav Asi's contention that an Uman is kona b'shevach keli, and therefore will never have to pay more than the value that you gave him. The additional value is his to collect from. Hanotin tzemer latzaba. Somebody gives raw wood to a dyer, and that dyer goes ahead v'dichoyorer. He overheats it now in the dye vat, and he ruins it. So the tenlo de meit simro, it says over here you pay only for the domim of the tzemer, from the raw wool, de meit samro in, de meit samro v'shifcho lo. It seems rather clear from here that you pay him only for the wool, and you do not pay him for the additional value that had been put into the wool, which includes the dye stuff, which, I mean, you just brought it in as raw wool. So, I mean, I'm assuming now that lavshig dikola achar nefila. I mean, I'm assuming that initially the wool was properly dyed. Then you left it in too long, and the heat went up, and the thermostat didn't work, and you wrecked the whole thing. But initially, the wool had been put in, had absorbed the dye, it was now worth a lot more money than the raw wool that you brought in. Nonetheless, we don't take into consideration the additional value, and we say, look, whatever happened afterwards is none of our business, all that you have to pay back is the tmei tzemer. So, in which would mean that there was ika shvacha, there had been now some gain in value due to the initial stage of the dyeing that was fine, and nonetheless he doesn't pay for it. Why not? Must be because he is the owner of that value until it's paid to him. So Shema Amina, Oman Koneh B'Shevach Keli. That proves indeed Rav Asi's contention. Omar Shmuel, I mean, you made all these assumptions to make a proof. I mean, Achamai is kidding. Why can't it be talking about a case where the vat was too hot up front, the moment that you stuck the wool in, it got wrecked? In which case, like a shivcha, there was never a moment where there was sheva. So what are you saying? You're saying that he could yichol achar nefila mai. What would be the din if it was ruined now, only after having been properly dyed? So then you would say, no ten lo dmei tzimro v'shivcho? In other words, Shmuel is openly stating that he holds, not like Rav Asi, that ein oman koneh b'shevach keli. I mean, that's not necessarily consistent with other maimorim of Shmuel. Are you ready to put your money on that? So lema Shmuel litli Rav Asi? No. We're not making any commitments over here. How come I asking him? To go on the tzimr v'samanim de ba'alabayit. It's talking about the balabayit brings in wool, and he brings in dye, and he simply hires somebody who knows how to deal with it to put it together. But we're not talking about where we've got a true dyer who's an Oman. We've got somebody who's being hired by payment for his work. And the tzava agayadeh of the shakel, he's basically a sakir, he's not an Oman, and therefore there would be no problem. So then, wait a minute, if that's the case, then he ruined the guy's wool and the guy's dye. If we're talking about someone who used the other person's dye, so then why does it only say that he pays back the wool? The wool, the yachin, no, Why does it not say that he owes him for the wool that he ruined and for the expensive dyes that he ruined? So that can't be the case. All right. No, you know what? Let's go back to what we said, all right? You're telling me that the fact that Shmuel said that this is a pretty weak proof necessarily means that he disagrees with Rav Asi? No. Shmuel is simply pointing out the illogic of bringing a proof from something where you make all kinds of assumptions. That's all. Shmuel is simply dechliyaka matchele. All he's saying is, how do you bring a proof from something that requires all kinds of assumptions? Now, it could be I agree with you. Maybe Uman Isko Nebeshevach Kelev. It certainly can't prove it from here. Let's be rational. That's all Shmuel is saying. Okay, so we have no raya now to Rav Asi from here. We have no raya about what Shmuel holds. Legabi Rav Asi's din of Uman Kone Beshevach Kelev. Let's see if we can bring a raya against Rav Asi to Toshma from here. Hanotin talitola oman. So now you bring your clothing to an expert to finish up. So Gomro, he finishes his work, vahodio, and he tells him, it's ready, come pick it up. Afilo mikan va'ada sarayamim, eno over alav mishum lo talim. You leave it in the store for the next 10 days, you are not over on lo talim pu'ulat sahir, because you didn't pick it up yet. So only at the time that you pick it up would you have to pay. But if you get it back, let's say at 12 o'clock in the afternoon, natnalo b'chatzi hayom, kivan shishaka alav hachama, over alav mishum bal talim. The moment that the sun sets, Torah said, lo tavo alav hashemesh, you must not owe money to a worker until past the evening, and if you do, you're over on a lot. So the moment the sun sets, I don't care if you got it back in the middle of the afternoon, you had that time to pay. You didn't pay, you're going to be over on lo talim or lo tavo. Now, Isa Gadaita, my point is that since we're talking over here about a contract, and it says Talitola Oman, right? So Isa Gadaita Oman Kone B'Shevach Kelev. If the halakha is that the contractor owns the kli, then how in the world are you over on an Isser that applies only to workers? There's no worker. What happened over here is you owed him, let's say, $10 for the tali. He owned that $10 worth of your tali that he improved. He gives that back to you. That's like a sale. I'm handing you over my $10 worth of talit. Now you owe me $10 for a talit. There's no debt of low talin on a debt. So how could we be talking about being over on low talin if you hold Oman Kone B'Shevach Kelev? There is no schar of a pu'ula here. There's only the debt for the money that he had in the talit. Omar Rav Mari Bereder of Kahana. Well, we're not talking about over here a case where there was Sheva. When we said you gave it the talit to an Oman, we meant you brought it into a dry cleaner. That's what we meant, which is a garda de sarabala. Now, a garda de sarabala is someone, of course, they didn't have dry cleaning in those days. What they had was combers. So you would comb out the material. But the point is that when you finish combing the material, it's actually worth less than it was before. I mean, it may be cleaner and so on, but it's taken quite a beating. And memela, there's no sheva. Oh, come on, what is that supposed to mean? There's no sheva. I mean, if there's no sheva, why would people go to the dry cleaners? I mean, obviously, before the dry cleaner, it's worth less than after the dry cleaner. What kind of analysis is that? There's no sheva. So, for the mayav and all that, well, why did he give it to him if there's no sheva? I mean, obviously, he wants the thing to be renewed. So it's l'rechukhe, now it's soft and it's neat. I mean, so that's enough. And that is sheva. So then, kivan derachache, ainu shivcha, that is the sheva. So what are you telling me there's no sheva? So I mean, we're back to the same question. Lo, the tzricha, the agre lebiche. Basically, he hired the guy over here for beating it out, not for combing it. In which case, he's paying him over here, bicha, bicha, bima'ata. He's paying him by the pu'ula, not by the results. And if that's the case, he's a regular workman. And that's all that we need. We don't have over here a completed job that at this point, this is what I owe you, a better material. And that's schirut. So let me get this straight. Lamaita Solagadaita Mikara. You originally answered me, and this is fascinating because there's another issue hidden between the lines that you didn't address, you took for granted, and I wanna now focus on that. Before we said we were talking about paying him per pounding. I used to step over the baguette in water. But before we got to that, to lo agri labichi, okay? So you are basically saying that misayeh leila Rav Sheshet. You are proving Rav Sheshet's contention. Because the bominim Rav Sheshet was asked, kablanut, over la bishum baltalino en oino over. What's the din when somebody accepts something as a contractor? Is there baltalin or is there not baltalin? Now, This appears to be exactly the question of whether the halacha is like Rav Asi, which we'll see in a moment. Because basically we have two ways of looking at things. We can look at a contractor as someone who's working for you, in which case you would be over on Baal Talit, or we can look at a contractor as someone who owns the piece of the action, and now you owe him when he gives it to you for the sale, so to speak, for all technical purposes. But then, I mean, that would mean there's only two extremes over here. Either he's the equivalent of Schirut, or Oman Kone B'Shevach Kel. That's what we think at this point. We'll take a look at it in a moment, a little bit more closely in the Gemara. So they asked Reb Sheshes, what is the din of Kablanut, where you basically accept a job? You're not being paid by the hour or by the day. You're being paid by a job. Is that the equivalent of being paid by the hour or not? That's what we asked him. Now he said, Amar lo Reb Sheshes, over, that you are going to be over on Baal Talin. Now, when you said originally that the case over here was that you hired him as a dry cleaner, it said over there that you, moment you get it back, if you don't pay him by the evening, you're going to be over on Lot Talin. Which means he was a dry cleaner. I mean, he accepted the job. You certainly weren't paying him by the hour, so you're paying him by the job. And yet, you assumed over there that the din would be perfectly acceptable, that if that were the case, that we would be paying him as a socher, even though he's being paid by the job. I mean, so you can understand that there would be three levels over here. You hire a carpenter to make you something. That's one level. You hire a guy to clean your baguette. That's another level. It's a job. And then you hire a guy by the hour, by the day. That's clearly schirut. Now, when we asked Reb Sheshet, so what's the din of hiring a guy by a job? He said it's schirut. So you were willing to accept that because you said we were talking about a dry cleaner. And you said by a dry cleaner, I understand. Obviously, you're going to be chayev to him as a socher. But does that mean that indeed Reb Sheshet is an alternative to Rav Asi? I mean, lema Reb Sheshet pligid at Rav Asi? Because, I mean, he holds that you're over on a job, which would mean that ein oman kone b'shevach keli, right? And that when you give back the clothing that you dry cleaned, you are, according to him, being paid only for the work that you did, but not for anything that you owned in the actual baguette that you gave back, which is technically a sale that would potter the recipient from the Isser of Lo Talin Sachar Sachir, because he's not a Sachir. So, I mean, I don't see any, is there a mid-situation where you can hold both the Rav Asi and of Reb Sheshes? In other words, you could say that an Oman is Kone B'Shevach Keli, but you would also hold that being paid by the job would be the equivalent of Schirut. Is such a thing possible? Omar Shmuel Bar Acha, sure it's possible. You don't have to say that they argue. There's a middle example. How about a postman? So he's a Shlicha D'Igarta. He's being paid now to deliver a letter. Now he's not being paid by the work. You buy a stamp, you put the stamp on the letter, now he is going to go ahead and deliver the letter. Now, obviously, there's no shevach there that you could discuss, that we should wonder about, gee, is this a sale? A sale of what? On the other hand, you're not paying it by the hour or by the day, you're paying it by the job. Okay, so what Reb Sheshes was asked was, what's the din of that type of transaction? Now, why in the world would Rav Asi have argued about that? I mean, it has nothing to do with his case. His case is talking about where there was shevach. Inokanami, where there's Shevach, there's nothing to discuss in terms of the Lo Talin. Therefore, it's not necessarily that the two argue. So we have three possible situations. We have a situation of jobs, stama job, doing things by the job and not by the hour. We have being paid by the hour, which is pure schirut. And then we have a creative situation where you are making something, you're an Oman. If you're an Oman, then maybe perhaps you're kind of a Shevach Keli. This is not goodbye, I hope. Okay, excellent. So things are getting clearer. Leme ketanoi. Is this issue indeed a machloket tanaim? Because if we take a look at the inyanim of Kedushin, it sure seems to be a machloket tanaim. A woman goes to a jeweler, she brings him gold, and she says, okay, I will want you to make me shirin, you make me bracelets, you make me nizamim, you make me earrings or tabaot, rings, and I will then be mekudesh to you. Is this not romantic? So kivan she'asa'an, when he makes her the jewelry, she is mekudesh. Tivri Rabbi Meir. V'chachamim omrim, eina mekudesh tak she'yagia mamon liyadam. No, she's not mekudesh until money comes into her hands. Now, when we say money, I mean, what are we referring to? The jewelry? Is that the question? I mean, when you say mamon, my mamon, I mean, ilay ma'oto mamon. What are we saying? That she has to get back the jewelry? I mean, it's a Rebbe Meir would hold that you don't even have to give her back the jewelry, and as soon as you make the ring, she's mekudeshet. One ring to bind them all. No. I mean, that couldn't be. Elabamai Mekacha. So there's nothing that was given to her. How could she possibly be Mekudeshet without receiving anything? We're clearly not referring to the jewelry. We're referring to other money. Elabshita Mai Mamon Mamon Acher. In other words, the Rabbanan actually insist that no, it's not going to help you to give back the jewelry. You're going to have to give her another ring of your own, or a dollar, whatever, for her to be Mekudeshet with. But she certainly cannot be Mekudeshet with your work. Now, let us consider what the issues are here. Because one question is whether Yeshna L'Sechirut Mitchila V'Atso, which would mean, when somebody's doing a job for you, is he paid by each Shava Pruta, or is he paid only at the very end, when he delivers the finished product? If you owe him for each Shava Pruta, then the woman has received nothing, except, I forgive you the bill. But forgiving the bill raises another question. That's a Mekadesh B'Milva. You lent money to a woman, and now you say to her, you be Mekudeshet to me because I forgive your debt. Now the Gemara in Kiddushet said a Mekadesh B'Milva, inam Mekudeshet, because you're not giving her anything new. The original money, even if the money is there, because the original money was given to her to spend. She doesn't give you back that money. So all you're doing is you're telling her, you don't have to pay me money. But where is the Mesira of money to be Mekadesh? So we have now really three issues. If we assume that, because the other issue, of course, is Uman Kona B'Shevach Kelly, which is what we're trying to say. I mean, obviously, if the guy owns the ring, then when he gives her the ring, great. So now he's been Mekadesh, just as for the same reason that we said you won't be over on Lo Talin Sechar Sakir, it's a sale. So by a Kedushin, it's a purchase of an Isha. I'm giving you the ring that I own, the 10% that I own, the improvement of the gold, right? That's Uman Kone B'Shevach Kelly. So that would be a very simple way of learning the Machlokas. If you all do Uman Kone B'Shevach Kelly, the moment that he gives you back the ring, and he says, Arei Mekudeshet Li, with my ring, so she's Mekudeshet. The Chachamim will say, no, he has to give her another penny. He can't be, that's because he never owned the ring. You'll say, but what do you mean? But even though he didn't own the ring, she owed him money. But that's a loan. So the loan, you cannot be a Mekadesh woman with a loan. So the only thing that's left with over here to be Mekadesh with is Oman Kone B'Shevach Kelly. Now, obviously, since we have three separate factors, A, Yesh on the Schirut B'Tchila V'Atzov, because that's what creates a loan situation. If you owed Ein L'Schirut Ela L'Besov, that the person is owed his money at the moment that he hands over the job, then, if he hands over the job and says, you don't owe me for this job, then he never had given her previously the money, that would be a loan, so then it wouldn't be a loan. Then he would be able to be Mekadesh with it. So we've got three factors. First of all, whether Schirut is Kone Mitchila, is Chayev Mitchila V'Atzov. Secondly, suppose even if Schirut is paid all the way along, Mitchila V'Atzov, Mekadesh B'Milva, maybe is Mekadesh. That's another factor. The third factor would be, in the event that there is no milva here, but rather Uman Kone B'Shevach Kelly and he owns the ring, then of course he could be Mekadesh with the ring. So there's three possibilities. Now the Gemara made an assumption that excluded two of the three factors. Thanks. So when you exclude two of the three factors, you're left with only one possible machloket, Uman Kone B'Shevach Kelly. Therefore, when we found this machloket, we assumed as follows. V'sabrua. In the Beit HaMedrash, it was assumed that, look, everybody agrees that the payment is due at each stage of the work, which means that we have a loan, because all along you've been owed for your work. Okay. Furthermore, everybody agrees to try to be Mekadesh woman with a loan is useless. Mekadesh woman in Mekadesh. What's left? Why does Rebbe Meir say she is Mekudeshet? To my love, the only thing that's left is this question. Oman Kone B'Shevach Kelly Kabitzlegay. So therefore, we're arguing precisely about the issue of Rabasa. Rebbe Meir says, Oman Kone B'Shevach Kelly, I own the ring. You own the gold. I'm giving you the ring. I read Mekudeshet Li. So over there, everything is great. I'm giving you, okay, it's true the gold is yours, but this is worth $100 maybe, the work that I did. And that's not money that you owe me, it's money that I'm owed, that I'm giving to you. Because Oman Kone B'Shevach Kelly.
Isn't the payment mechanism we talked about earlier irrelevant if you own the
Shevach? It does, it's completely irrelevant. Yeah. That's the point. Yeah. Rabbanan, on the other hand, to them it's not irrelevant, because they hold Ein Oman Kone B'Shevach Kelly. So if they hold Ein Oman Kone B'Shevach Kelly, and they furthermore hold Yeshel Eschirut Mitchilo Vatzol, and they furthermore hold a Mekadesh B'Milva and a Mekadesh. So what are you trying to be Mekadesh with? You want her? Pay. Take out another Pruta and be Mekadesh with the Pruta. And then that would prove that indeed Rav Asi is an old Machloket between Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim. Says the Gemara, who's to say that that's the case? I mean, we know, of course, the comeback. There's two other factors here. No, absolutely not. Maybe everybody, oh, it's Kuleyama Ein Oman Koneva Sheva Kelly. And the question is whether Yesh L'Schirut B'Tchila V'Atzof Kamifligay. That would be a perfectly valid explanation. Rabbi Meir would say, Ein L'Schirut El L'Vesof, you only are owed the money at the moment that you complete the job and hand it back. And at that moment, you already said a Rebbe Kodesh, at least, and there was no loan. So then already, that's giving her something. Rabban et Sabra Yesh L'Schirut B'Tchila V'Atzof, and it's a loan. That's one alternative. The other alternative, of course, is the third factor. Maybe they're arguing about whether Mekadosh B'Milva and Mekadosh or not, right? So the argument could be any one of three factors. And we have over here a situation where someone is Mekadosh, a woman with a loan. That's the machloket. Can you be Mekadosh B'Milva or not? Rabbi Meir Savar Mekadosh B'Milva Mekudeshet. So what does this have to do with Uman Kona v'Shevach Keli? Whereas Rava says, you guys left out one more factor. There's actually four factors that are involved here. The Machloket could have been in any one of four factors, not only three. And that is, let us assume, okay, that a Mekadosh B'Milva ain't a Mekudeshet. And let us assume that ain't Uman Kona v'Shevach Keli. And let us assume that indeed, yesh l'tzchirut mitchila v'atzof. So you'll say, so then what the heck are we talking about? I'll tell you what we're talking about. We're talking about romance. You brought in this gold to the jeweler, and you said, make me a bracelet. And what happens? You get back a bracelet with a pretty little beryl in the middle. Right. Not a charm. No, this is some material that you never gave him. There's a nice little sparkling piece of stone right there in the middle. Wow. Now that talks to you. It's not a very expensive stone, maybe, but it's pure love. And you think to yourself, gosh, you must really care. And so when he gives it back to you, he says, be Mekudeshet to me with this beautiful bracelet. Okay, so now the question is, the bracelet per se, you can't be Mekudeshet with. Because, yesh l'schirut b'tchila v'atzof, Mekudeshet b'milva ein Mekudeshet, and ein oman kona b'shevach keli. Things are quite simple, and there's no problem in law. Just to keep your facts straight. But the question is, of course, it's the trinkets that really count. Ah, but the question is, what is she thinking about? Is her focus on the trinket in context of the bracelet? But if it's in context of the bracelet, then she's really thinking about something that's valuable to her, but is technically irrelevant for Kedushin, because it's a milvah. So she's thinking, gosh, you know, he's giving me this whole thing, I don't have to pay, and it's got this beautiful stone. So you're being the Kadesh B'milvah plus, is what's happening.
Why is it B'milva?
Because the stone is an additive to the main issue over here, which is the $100 she would have had to pay for the job. So she's thinking, it's so nice. He not only gave it back and didn't charge me, he even added a pretty little stone, right? But the question is, if her focus is on the main idea over here, which is the value that he's being Michael, and she's just romantically inclined to the stone, so then that would mean that the kinyan is not a kosher kinyan because she's thinking about the element of a kinyan that isn't usable as a kinyan, namely the milvah. In other words, the fact that a woman says, gosh, he let me off of $1 million debt, of course I'll be his wife. The fact that she's excited about it doesn't make it a kosher condition. He's still going to have to pay a penny to be mekadesh. So in this case, that's exactly what's happening. He's being Michael $1 million debt, let's say, for his beautiful work that he did.
Wait, is she assuming that he's going to charge her for that?
No, she's not. That's the point. She's not. She's so excited. But her excitement has various elements of its composition. She's excited because she doesn't have to pay, and she's excited because he cares, and he put in the stone. Yeah. So now, which element is the focus? That's the question.
So she considers it part of the bracelet project.
Well,
so to speak.
Okay. The truth is, I'm simplifying, because there's a machlokas we've shown him about what the problem is if you're Mekadesh B'milva plus. Is the problem the fact that the milva was included, or is the problem that the main focus might have been on the milva? No, the milva is the money that was owed for the work, and that might be worth 100 times more than the stone, in which case maybe she's mainly focusing on that in terms of her inner willingness. That's a machlokas, whether if there's any other component. So basically, it's not really a kedusha, because she's thinking about being mukadesha for something worth $120, whereas in fact, she's being mukadesha for something worth $10. which is the stone on its own, not as part of the bracelet. Right?
But she wouldn't have had to pay for the stone if he was giving it to her.
He gives it to her, but he's giving it to her in context of a bracelet that she owes him so much money for. So now she's very happy. But the things that she's happy about are not valuable for Kedushin purposes. That's the question. She's thinking to herself, gosh, I got $120 back here, maybe $1,020,000, right? So let's say the $1,020,000 over here, yeah, Leonardo da Vinci designed this magic bracelet for you. Okay, you owe him $1,000,000. Okay, and he also threw in this little glass, a trinket.
$20.
Yeah, so now she's very happy, but what is she happy about? Is she happy about the $20, or is she happy about the $1,020,000? She doesn't, he tells her, don't pay me a penny.
She needs her das to be accepting this.
It needs her focus on something kosher for Kedushin. That's the issue. Right, so that could be the machloket over here. So Rabbi Meir Savar Milva Upruta, the Ata Upruta. She is focusing on the element that is kosher for Kedushin. And that, in this case, that's the stone, the Nofek. The Rabbanan Savre, Milva Upruta, the Ata Milva. Again, as I explained, there's a machloket we showed him that means fully, partially, but whatever pshat that we'll accept. Rashi says to himself, apparently, in different places also in this. So there is therefore a fourth issue that needs to be taken into consideration. And I know, says Rava, you see, the advantage of saying my pshat is that I know that there's a machloket about that. Because b'plut d'ani tana, see, you guys all had three possible pshat, but you had no indication that there was such a machloket. I know that there's such a machloket. And therefore it makes much more sense to attribute this machloket to be an indication of an existing machloket that is known. And where do we have that machlokes b'pluk d'ani tanoi? The Tanya. Bischar she'asiti imach. A man comes along and he says to a woman, and he says, look, I made this beautiful bracelet for you, which you agreed to pay me $100 for. I'm going to be mochel that loan. You be mikudeshet to me. Eina mikudeshet. What do you mean? He already did the work, and now it's a loan. Because we move eina mikudeshet. But bischar she'asiti imach. I'm going to make you a beautiful bracelet out of your gold. In that case, mikudeshet. Why? Because apparently, if you hold aimless root elalabisov, so then it's not a milva. Fine. Rabbi Natan Omer, whether it's bischar she'aseimach, or whether it's the other way, never mikudeshet. Even bischar she'aseimach, eina mikudeshet. Because Rabbi Natan holds yeshel schirut mitchila v'atzof, therefore it's a milva. Kol shekei bischar she'asiti imach, which is literally a loan that's owed on work previously done. Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi Omer, look, be'emet amru, it's 100%. This you can, I guarantee you, that bein bischar she'asiti imach, u'bein bischar she'aseimach, eina mikudeshet. Either way, you're not Mekudeshet, but, and that I agree with Rabbi Natan, but I want to say that im hosifla nofech mishalom, if you added a little stone, then Mekudeshet. Now, that means we have a three-way machloket over here. So, bein Tanakam, or Rabbi Natan, the machloket between the Tanakam and Rabbi Natan, about whether bischar she'eseimach, what I'm going to do, is Mekudeshet or not, that I understand. The machloket says whether yesh l'schirut b'tchila v'atzof, or in the schirut elomim b'sof. That's a clear cut machloket schirut. Bein Rabbi Natan Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi ikabinayu. And what is the machloket which Rabbi Natan obviously disagrees and he holds, even if you added a little stone, it wouldn't have helped. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda says, no, if you give her a trinket, then that does help. What's an afkamina? Milva upruta. Whether daita amilva or daita apruta. Okay, so we have four possible explanations of the Machlokes, Rabbi Meir, and the Chachamim, and not necessarily are they arguing in Rav Asi's issue about whether Uman Koneh, B'Shevach Keli. So once again, we've been dealing with four separate issues in our sugya. We have to keep them separate in our mind, and that is the opening gambit of Rav Asi, which is Uman Koneh, B'Shevach Keli, which gives us a completely different understanding of the Mishnah. And then we have the question of what is the din of schirut, whether it's mishtalim all along for each shavar pruta, or it's eina mishtalim el v'sov. We also have the machlokas of mekadesh b'milva mekudeshet or not. And we have a further machlokas about if mekadesh b'milva eina mekudeshet, if you add something, whether mekadesh b'milva upruta, or the stone, whether daita amilva or daita pruta. In there we have a machlokas rishonim, whether that means exclusively amilva pruta, or whether if you have any mixture, it would automatically possible kedushin. Comes along Shmuel and says, Omer Shmuel, if you bring an animal to a shayach, and he's a tabach uman, he is a recognized and accepted Shochet, and he messes up the Shechita. Not that it was a Treifa, he messes up the Shechita. He's Menabel the Shechita, nicely. And he's Mikalkel, he's Chayav L'Shalim. He's got to pay. Why? He's a Mazik, he's a Porshea. It's as if you said to him, okay, cut here, and instead he cuts there. I mean, that's straight out destroying and not following instructions. So now, obviously, I mean, he's giving us an awful lot of justification for this. He's a mazik, he's a posheya. I mean, what's the need for clarifying things like that? Because, you see, suppose you would have just said he's a mazik, you know? The question over here is there's a number of issues that are hidden here between the lines that absorb a lot of the energies of the Rishonim on the daf. And that is this. The question of whether we're talking about somebody who's working for you. One issue is it considered to be a shomer? If it's considered to be a shomer that has been paid, so it would be a shomer sachar. If he's a Shomer Sachar, he obviously has to give back what you gave him in good condition, right? Now, if something happens to a Shomer Sachar, which is something which to a Shomer Chinam would have been an onus, so to speak. Let's say it was stolen. So the Shomer Chinam would have been Patrag Neva Vavedas. Let's call that an onus for purposes of this. Because over here what we're dealing with is somebody who's trying his best, just not his very best. I mean, the question is that outright negligence that would be b'chayiv him under any event? Or is it because of the fact that this guy is now has been a bit of a shomer, that this would be the equivalent of the type of thing that he accepted upon himself to make certain doesn't happen? Even though a shomer socher obviously didn't want the thing to be stolen, he did his best to protect it in the sense of the way he treated his own things. I mean, he just locked the door and somebody picked the lock. You know, but I mean, he should have buried it. He should have taken better care of it. He should have put it in a safe deposit box. Okay, I mean, you understand that that's not negligence in the normal sense. If it were, then even a shomer chinam would have been chayav for it. So that's one issue that we need to consider. The other issue we need to consider is when somebody is working on something that's yours, with your consent, I mean, there's an element of risk-taking that you took when you gave it over to somebody to do a job. So, I mean, does that give us normal dinim of shmira? Is that a dinim of a mazik? I mean, this is what it is that Shmuel is trying to make clear. Okay, so he's saying, the guy who knows what he's doing. I mean, if he's a head yot, he shouldn't have picked up the knife in the first place. He's going to practice on my behema. That's definitely out. But over here, he's an oman. He's assuming that it's going to come on and everything's going to work out all right. But if I would have said only the words that he's a mazik, so I would have said, okay, if he's being paid, so if he's being paid, he's considered to be the equivalent of somebody who's going to be chayev in onesim. But again, ones in this case, as the Rosh explains, means an ones equivalent. That's the point. In other words, we'll call Geneva an ones for Gabi Shomer Chinam and a non-ones for Shomer Sorcha. We're saying that therefore, since over here he's being paid, so he's mechuyev to take care of it the way a Shomer would, and he would be chayev because therefore it would be the equivalent of a non-ones. So that would mean if he's not being paid after the Kavit Bechinam, maybe he would be patur because, I mean, look, you know, he did his best, accidents happen. Therefore, Kamashba Poshea, well, I want you to know that he is considered not an onus on any level. A man can take better care, make sure that the animal was properly tied down and didn't move as he was trying to do shechita, and so on and so forth. He was a little lazy. So he figured, all right, someone will hold the animal down. Tie the animal down. Or whatever the case was, but you can do a good job on shechita if you're really willing to put everything into it with all of the tircha that's involved. So the failure, therefore, says Shmuel, is a posheya, not simply a din of a mazik. Kamashman posheya, because remember, one of the mazikin is a shomer who doesn't do his job. So if I only would have said mazik, you could have understood it as that. Kamashman is straight out posheya. Eitve, Reb Chama bar Guria l'Shmuel, Reb Chama bar Guria says to Shmuel, you claim that if you bring it to a guy to shecht, that he's considered to be a posheya. And here it says, Beferush, anotein beimal tabach venibla uman. Here we've got the same case as your case. The shochet was an oman. So he is a well-respected shochet. And he wrecked it. He's putter. And only a shochet who's a hediot, and he does not have enough experience, he would be chayav. And imnotein sachar, if you're paying him, so then ben hediot ben oman chayav, which is the reason that Shmuel specified, it has nothing to do with paying him. And here it says, Dafka, there is an afkamina if you're paying him. So if you paid him, then you would be chayav in any event. So now this clearly shows that you are wrong. Amar Le, so Shmuel said to him, may you go brain dead. Stupid, that the rest of your brain might as well die anyway if you ask a dumb question like this. La'aker mochacha, which is remarkable, as I pointed out many times, that Chazal take for granted that the brain is being used for thinking, which wasn't discovered by the rest of the world for 1,000 years and more. And Aristotle was convinced the brain was a cooling mechanism. Because the whole point of a Gemara is to make you, as explained many times, to bring you to the table. This is teaching you Torah Shebaal Peh, which includes all elements of the interactions. It's not the words, it's the context of the words and the way that the Milchamta Shel Torah is handled. This is absolutely essential for you to know. Without it, you miss the entire humanity of the discussion. If you miss the humanity of the discussion, you can't learn Torah. It becomes an abstract discussion. Now you're going to sit back and start analyzing the details of La'aker Mochacha. You're going to end up without sitting at the table. So Ata Umi Rabbana. So now somebody else also came along, besides Rabbi Chama Bar Guria. He wasn't choshev enough to be given by name. And Kabotiv, and he asked the same question to Shmuel. Not a good idea. Omar Leza, Shmuel said to him, okay, now you get what he got. I'm telling you right now, you're brain dead. Asher shakalta by the shakal chavrecha. But now I see both brain dead people. Who knows how many other brain dead people there are in here. I might as well explain myself. Kamina luchu ana Rabbi Meir. Look, gentlemen, please. I am saying over halacha that is following the shita of Rabbi Meir. V'kamritu li Rabbanan. And you bring me a raya from the Rabbanan who argue on Rabbi Meir's fundamental assumptions. Amai lo dayakta mili. You don't hear a word that I'm saying? I feel like I'm talking to idiots over here. I tell you so many words, okay? Ani omer, maziku. Do you think I'm stupid that I'm saying all these words for nothing? I'm trying to point to you to the makar of a shita. Who is the makar of that shita? Man itle haisvara. Where do we find a man diyama who holds that we can take someone who should know better and make him responsible for doing his absolute best? That's Rabbi Meir. So, and he's the one who said, the Omar mi boyamoi, lemirma anafshoi. He can never say, I did my best. Because since he could have done better, it's obviously not his best. Now that's Rabbi Meir Shita. It is? Where is that? Sorry, I don't want to... Hi, Rabbi Meir. Which Rabbi Meir are we referring to? Okay. Right, we won't ask this in front of Shmuel, but I mean, since Shmuel's not in the room, which Rabbi Meir was he referring to? I mean, Ilei Mahar Rabbi Meir. If we're referring to the following Rabbi Meir, the simon being that he cursed them out, right? That's the kalalan. So it's not. What would be the kuf is kashro. So kashro ba'alav b'moseh rabbi. We had before the machloket about what is the din of a mu'ad. Does a mu'ad require shmirah me'ula or shmirah pechuta? So it says over there in the Mishnah, if the owner has tied him up with a rope, or na'al b'faneh karaui, with a knot of chain, or na'al b'faneh karaui, locks the door of the barn the way he normally does, V'yatzavi Yizik, bein tam bein mu'at chayav din Rabbi Meir. So Rabbi Meir apparently holds that the din is, look, you could have done better. I mean, certainly you don't deny that you could have chained him instead of putting a rope there. You don't deny that you could have had a metal door. I mean, what did you have to have this crummy barn door? Okay, so you're saying, well, I didn't think, thank you. So in other words, you didn't do your best. Okay, I understand. But you pay for not doing your best.
Right.
Okay, so then that would be Rabbi Meir. No. I mean, that's a special halacha. Remember, we darshan pesukim. That has to do with the p'tur of shmirah on a mazik. What does that have to do with adam mazik? Whether he's considered to be a mazik or a poshea, it's a completely different issue, which is a machloket and pesukim. Remember, you know, okay, so that can't be the Rabbi Meir is referring to. Hatam bekroy plege, they were arguing with direct diyukim, and that's gzerat hakatuv. That has to do with maziki moma. Elaha Rabbi Meir. Maybe what he was referring to Shmuel is the following Rabbi Meir, that's not. Litzboa lo adom utzivao shachor. Shachor utzivao adom. Rabbi Meir omer noten lo demet samro. It says over there, pay him because you dyed it the wrong color. Ah, come on. Hatam biyadayim kalomi over there. I mean, the guy intended to do the wrong thing. That has nothing to do with doing your best. What do you mean doing your best? You got your instructions wrong. That's not the point. You fully intended to do the wrong thing. I mean, that's not the case where you could have done better and it's a parshah. It's nothing to do with this issue. Elohar Rebbe Meir. This must be the case. And this indeed makes sense. Remember, we had before a case where the Tanan Nishbra Kadova Lo Silka. Somebody's pitcher breaks and he doesn't pick up the pieces. Or his camel falls and he doesn't pick up the camel. Rabbi Meir says, you're chayav and then he's zakeh because you are the creator of a boar. And remember that after much anguish, we finally came out with what the machloket is over there. Karmelon, binditka poshayavadipligit. Question was over there, someone who slips, is that considered to be a poshaya? What do you mean a poshaya? You could have not slipped. That means you did not do your absolute best in watching out where you're going and in stepping carefully. That's all. Believe me, if you would have had a problem of osteoporosis and you knew that a fall would cost you half your life, you wouldn't have slipped. Okay? So if that's, and the case of the camel, of course, is talking about that he slipped, the camel slipped, I didn't remember. But so it was his fault. Okay, but bottom line is, we have a machloket over there, whether someone who obviously does not want in any way to suffer what he suffered in slipping, is nonetheless considered to be a poshea because he could have done better. And therefore, the same thing would be true over here with the case of the sheikhet. What are you bringing me a raya for the fact that the chachomim, who hold that nitkal, is not considered to be a poshea, is considered to be an ones, and you bring me a raya from that? I mean, I don't understand your brains. Where are the brains in this Beit Midrash? Oh my gosh, we're having problems. So shall we continue, or is this just too much for an Erev Pesach period? Okay,
so,
well, we're going to be in the middle of something for quite a ways. Yeah, all right, so we have a shorter daf tomorrow. Very good. So I guess we can end here, being as I'm having a hard time speaking to people that are asleep. And cloudy, okay. Well, that's all he really said. La Akera means just it should be cloudy.
There's no allowance for human error here. It's
Rebbe Meir.
Yeah.
Right, that's right.
The fact that people err, you're responsible for that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. Otherwise, it would just be if you're a shomer. Then we understand that. That's the way you accept it. I mean, that's something else. Not because we view it as a shea, but because you accepted this level of even ones. That's exactly what the other shomer holds. Lema misayale hanotein tzemer latzava v'igdiko yore notein lo demet sabro in demet sabro v'ushvacholo lav shigdiko le'achar defila dika shivcha, and nonetheless shmai min ha'oman kona b'sheva keli, because he only pays the tzemer. Amar Shmuel, who's to say hachma eskin gon shigdiko b'shat defila d'leka shivcha? So what are you saying? Higdiko le'achar defila mai notein lo demet sabro v'ushvacho le'ma Shmuel letle d'rabasi amar l'cha Shmuel, look, and the tzamba is just being paid for agar yade. It's a chov. Omer of Mori Bereder of Kahana, Begarda de Sarbala, the Lekka Shavacha. Oh, come on. I mean, so, why would you give it to the dry cleaners? I mean, obviously, L'Rechuchay, so given the Rachay, that is the Shavach. L'Tzrivet Agre L'Biche, Biche Beba'ata, Dainu Schirut. Umay de solagadai to mikora the law agre lebiche. So then we say eleir of sheshet, right? The bo meir of sheshet kablanut over alam mishum baltalino ino over. Certainly a dry cleaner is kablanut. Vomel of sheshet over. Lemin of sheshet pligid ravasi amashma baracha. No, there are cases where there's no shevach keli. Let's say a postman the shvicha diigarta. Let me get to know. Aseli sherim nizamim tabaot vakadesh lach. So given she'asan mekudeshet Rabbi Meir v'chachamim amrim ena mekudeshet ad sheyagia mamon liyada. Now, when you talk about mamon, which mamon? I mean, ilema oto mamon mechlad Rabbi Meir tzavar even out mamon lo. So ela b'may mikatsha, ela pshita may mamon mamon acher v'savru de kuliyama. Yeshna l'skirut mitchilavat sof de kuliyama mekadosh b'milvena mekudeshet. So what's left? Only the third factor. My love, Oman Kone B'Shevach Kelly, come if you get. Rabbi Meir Tzava, Oman Kone B'Shevach Kelly. So he's giving her money. Rabban Tzavrihin, Oman Kone B'Shevach Kelly. And it's just a loan. Lo. Kulei Alma, perhaps, Ein Oman Kone B'Shevach Kelly. Hocha B'Yesh L'Schrut Mitchil Vatsov, come if you get. Rabbi Meir Tzava, Ein L'Schrut El L'Besov. So he's giving her not a loan, but the actual value. Rabban Tzavri, Yesh L'Schrut Mitchil Vatsov, and it's a milva. Or maybe, Ibaitel HaKulei Alma, Yesh L'Schrut Mitchil Vatsov, and it is a loan. Maybe that's the Bachlokas. Whether Mekadesh B'Milva is a good Kiddush. Rabbi Meir Tzava, Mekadesh B'Milva, B'Kiddush. Rabban Tzavri, Mekadesh B'Milva, and a Mekadesh. Rav Alma, there's a fourth possibility, which is the Kulei Alma, Yesh L'Schrut Mitchil Vatsov. Kulei Alma, Mekadesh B'Milva, and a Mekadesh. Kulei Alma, Enum, and Kona, B'Shevach Kelly. So you'll say, so what could the Machloket be? Ah. Hachmai Eskinan, Kagon Shahosifla, Nofach Mishalo. Rabbi Meir Savar Milva Vapruta Data Pruta, and therefore she's Bekudesha. Rabban Sari Milva Pruta Data Amilva. Obeplukta Daditadoi, Titania. Bisharsha Asiti Imach Eina Mekudesha, because that's a Milva. Bisharsha Esei Imach is Mekudesha, because there it's not a Milva, because Schirot is Mishtalemet, only Lubisov. Rabbi Natan Omer, either way. Even schar she'esei mach in a mekudesh, koshik et schar she'asiti mach, which is clearly a milva. Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi says, I must add that be'emet amru. It's true that Rabbi Natan is correct that bein b'schar she'asiti mach, bein b'schar she'esei mach in a mekudesh. But I add a nofech mishali, which is that im hosif la nofech mishalo mekudesh. So now beit tanikam la Rabbi Natan the machlok is clearly schirut. Bein Rabbi Natan, Rabbi Yehuda, Nasi, the machloket is milva upruta. Omar Shmuel tabach uman shekelkel. Chayav l'shalim. He's a mazik, he's a posheya. It's nasi gobel l'shkot mimikan v'shachat lo mikan. Why did he have to add that thing, maziku and posheyahu? Because, you see, if he would have said maziku, I would have thought he's a mazik as a shomer. So, hani mile, echtogavit b'sachar. Echtogavit b'chinam lo. It's not that he's an outright mazik. Kamar Shmuel is a posheya. So if he's a tabach oman, he's patur. If he's a head yod, he should never have picked up the knife in the first place, and he's chayav. V'im notein zachar, then ben head yod ben oman chayav. Aha! This proves you wrong. Amalei, sure it does, for brain dead people. La'akir mochacha, atomi rabbanu kamoti v'amalei. Okay, now you get the same thing the other guy got. Hashta shekalta ma'ir shaka chavarecha. Kamina l'chu ana Rabbi Meir, v'kamrita li Rabbanan, amaylo dayakta mi li, ani omer, maziku, posheyahu, nazik omer, shechot li mikav, v'shachat l'makani, you come along, and ask me a question, I mean, for God's sake, manit le haisvar, Rabbi Meir, di omer mi boyle lamir mi anavsh, can I just ask which Rabbi Meir? Ilema Rabbi Meir, it's not. Kashruba ala v'mosir Rabbanal, v'fanav kera oi v'yatzav, izik bein tam bein muot, chayav di Rabbi Meir, Hatam Mikroi plig has nothing to do with Adam Amazing. Eloha Rabbi Meir. Ditanan Zva Lo Adom Tzva Or Shachor Shachor Tzva O Adom. Rabbi Meir Omer Noten Lo Demet Samro. Hatam Bi Adayim Kolomine. Eloha Rabbi Meir. Ditanan Nishpra Kado Velo Siuka. Nafla Gemalo Velo Emida. Rabbi Meir Omer Chayab Ben Zikan As A Bor. And what was the machloket, you will recall, Kaimelan? And therefore, by extension, to our case, and this is why Divrei Torah, Shirim b'makom echad, Vaniim b'makom acher, by extension to our case, anybody learning Bava Kama should have realized that there's a fundamental argument about the extent of posheya for a human that doesn't do its best.